Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation. To learn more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV or go to soulseekersnation.com. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. Do you love America? Do you love supporting American manufacturing? If the answer is yes, then check out Coltac gear for Made in America products with a lifetime warranty. Coltac manufactures specialty gear designed for long-range shooting, hunting, and other tactical applications. From their support bags, suppressor covers, their new bino harness, and a whole lot more, Coltac is creating tough, durable, and innovative gear for serious shooters. Go to Coltac.com to see all that they have to offer and use the code SOULSEEKERS10 to save 10% at checkout. If you are wanting to become more accurate and deadly with your shooting, one of the best things you can do is upgrade your trigger with a Timney. Timney triggers are 100% made in America and have been since their founding, providing a crisp, reliable, and repeatable trigger break every time. I'll be shooting Timney triggers in my guns this year, and I hope you'll join me in shooting the world's finest trigger. Go to timneytriggers.com to get yours today. If you're looking to take your hunting to another level, there's no better way to do it than by subscribing to Onyx Hunt. If you want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, Onyx is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust Onyx Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. If you want to know more about Onyx, go to onyxmaps.com/hunt or download their app today for a free trial.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Soul Seekers podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack, live from Huxworks Safety Company booth here at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo in Salt Lake City to support the Mule Deer Foundation. And today's guest is Charles Whitwam from Howl for Wildlife. We're going to be catching up with Charles to talk all about what's the latest on the conservation front and the defense of wildlife. So, Charles, great to have you on.
Thanks, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple years.
2 years. We were just talking about it. Last time was at SHOT Show.
Yeah, you might have been sitting in that exact same seat two years ago.
I was sitting right there.
Yeah. I love it. So, you are just constantly going. Yeah. Hunting's always under attack.
Yeah.
What's been the latest? What are the main things that we're looking at, and then what have we overcome and successfully defended lately?
I'll be honest with you. It's hard for me to remember everything because I'm just going from one thing to the next.
Yeah.
I usually have to go back to our archives and our action center to remember what we've done. So legislative season, this is February 2006. It's just started, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff that's coming this year, I don't even know what it is yet. But a few things I do know. We're back to Colorado, working with Dan Gates again. There's a fur ban that's being proposed at the commission level. Now, in 2024, that was on the ballot in Denver, and I forget what the stats were, but the city of Denver crushed that bill, like did not pass. Awesome.
Yeah.
Right. To ban fur. That's now the same group, same people behind Prop 127 with the mountain lion ban, which we won. They're back at the commission trying to get that passed. So next week, actually on Monday, I think I'm going to have an action up, and I'm getting all the info from Dan and just had a meeting with him this past week. So we're doing that. I know IP28 in Oregon, that's back. That's like the kind of broad stroke end everything, hunting, fishing, farming, ranching, meat, you know, all that goes away.
Yep.
They're going to get the signatures, so that's going to be on the ballot. They will get the signatures for that. It looks like that. It will be on the ballot, and the plan there is just to absolutely crush it. It's not going to pass. I mean, the only way it passes is if people do not pay attention at all, because the wording that they're using in IP28, I think they're calling it like the peace act or initiative or something like that, you know, so it sounds good, but literally all types of fishing, all types of hunting, any type of animal, breeding, ranching, I think meat, it would basically just cancel all that.
Yeah.
So it's the wackiest of the wackiest people coming together to come up with, they came up with the wackiest plan. So the plan there is to just crush it.
And that just
from everybody.
Just to clarify, that is not just killing on public land. That's just
it's across
the board.
Yeah, writ large. Like
that's crazy.
Yeah. So that'll be definitely a battle that we're going to be involved in. And I hesitate to say we're going to crush it, but I think we are. And it's going to be, this isn't a political thing. There's some people say, oh, this is, you know, vote Democrat. This is what you get. Like, listen, Democrats are going to vote to crush this also. They eat meat. This is so, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's where we have also the advantage here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we can put that, if we can kill that idea, hopefully it doesn't come back again because it gets crushed so hard. That's the plan there.
Yeah.
Really, all I have been doing recently is Killing Catalina, which is the documentary that we did on the eradication of deer on Catalina Island. So that's taken up most of my time. I've been working on that for 2 years, but then finally got around to, I think it's time to make a documentary and do all the editing and all that stuff. So we released that, and that's probably been the biggest thing we've ever done. And I didn't know that was going to happen, but what's cool about it is it goes way beyond hunters. We have the support of the Catalina Island Humane Society. We have the support of all these different groups and, you know, politics on the left and on the right supporting, like, hey, we need hunting as a management plan instead of eradication. The documentary, it's on YouTube now. It's mostly I'm there on the island interviewing the PhD scientist that is behind the eradication. And, you know, she's giving me all the reasons why they need that. And then she starts, I think the real interesting part about this whole thing is the science that they are using turns out to just not be true. Like, what they're telling the public is not actually what is happening. They're telling the public they have peer-reviewed, very accurate spotlight surveys. And I'm like, you mean where you drive around in a truck with spotlights and that's how you're getting an accurate deer count? Yes. And I'm like, that's not scientifically accurate at all. Like, yes, it's used to get an idea, but your hard numbers you're coming up with, that's a wild, wild guess.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask them about, you know, because there has been hunting on the island. Well, what's your management plan? Because you want to reduce the numbers. Do you have a management plan to reduce the numbers? Oh, yeah, we have a doe first harvest, you know, plan. We've had that for 10 years. Turns out to be completely not true at all. So they're trying to sell this thing to get rid of hunting and then completely bring in a company that does this and completely eradicate all the deer and leave them there to rot. So that's been one of the coolest things I've ever been involved in. And
wow,
the people that are on our side and the conversations I'm having with folks are just, that's like where I want to be. I like talking to the non-hunting public. I love when we have those opportunities to do that. So I've had a lot of really cool conversations with people where, you know, they're asking me about, because they see what we're doing there, what we want to do on the island, but then they'll ask about, what about sport hunting? What about trophy hunting? And I'll ask them, well, what do you mean? Like, tell me what you think it means. And then I get an opportunity to tell them, well, this is what sport hunting really is. This is what trophy hunting really means. And they have this completely different idea. And then you talk to them and they go, I've never heard it explained that way before in my life, ever, ever. And the way you just explain it, that makes sense. Like, I have a totally different view of hunters. So that's what we're always trying to get to, right? And that's been, I don't know, you know, whichever way this thing goes, we won, I think, in the public's eye. We created more opportunities. We opened more doors to have those conversations with the non-hunting public. So we'll see what happens. It's wild. It's absolutely, I definitely encourage you to watch it because I think this type of movement, you could probably find similarities in different parts of North America. And I'm wondering if this science is being sold, that is being sold, is not very scientific at all. I mean, I can't look into every issue, but, you know, the Nature Conservancy is involved here, the Catalina Island Conservancy, Center for Biological Diversity is on their political team. You start looking at everything behind the curtain, and I'm going, wow, this is bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah. Well, what you do is you talk politics a lot, politics of hunting.
Yeah.
And I feel like and I'm going to bring up the Epstein files because I feel like it's applicable to what's going on. Everything that we've been sold, and it's not left or right, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're just been sold lies nonstop. And it goes with nutrition, it goes with healthcare, it goes with animal biology and conservation numbers, and oh, but it's science. But is it really? Like, you know, I can skew any number set to make it look the way I want it to look.
Yeah, agendas.
You know, when you said a peer review study of Spotlight, I'm like, well, so you mean you documented all these deer you saw and said, hey, can you look at this and count these and just tell me that that's also what you get? Like, is that what peer reviewed means?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know what peer reviewed means. I'd like to know who the peers are. But to how they do spotlight surveys on the island, this is confirmed. They'll drive around for 3 nights. They count, say, 300 deer over those 3 nights. They then take that number and extrapolate it to the size of the island. So that's where they come up with 2,100. So that's assuming then deer densities are uniform.
Right.
Right? Well, what we did is I had a small team at the time of thermal drone operators. We went there and we covered 10% of the island in different areas, just sample tested. We found, yep, there's a lot of deer around town by the golf course. We go into the interior and there's, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres. There's no deer. And then there's some areas where there's more deer and some areas where there's a lot of deer.
Yeah.
So we found it's definitely not uniform. For sure. And we offered to them, and we would pay for it. We'd bring in, you know, a dozen thermal drone operators from a company that we work with. They looked at the whole island, you know, after testing, and they're like, yeah, we could totally cover this whole island. So I offered that to the Conservancy. Let's get an accurate number. That's science. And then we can base a management plan off of that number. You can't base a management plan off guesswork.
Right.
And they won't do it. They denied it. And I think that's because there's far less deer on the island than what they're claiming. They don't want better science, which is the craziest thing. Everyone's always asking for best available science. And then when it turns around on them, nah, we're good.
Yeah. Nah, we'll pass.
They won't debate us. They won't. I mean, CBS News called me up. Hey, let's do an interview. And then they put that request out to the Conservancy, and the Conservancy denied it. They don't want to get any further into this, and because I don't think they can legitimately, when they're pressed, I don't think they can back up a lot of their science. Now, some of it I agree with for sure. Are deer causing some damage? 100%. To what extent? I don't know. What it comes down to for me is I put value on those mule deer, and there's value when hunters can come in and take the meat off the island. There's no value when you come in and exterminate the deer and they're just left there to rot.
Right, right.
It's as simple as that.
Value is an interesting thing. Sorry, I bumped my mic right there. Value is an interesting thing because if there's no value applied, then there's no care.
Yep.
Right? Like, I don't value mice.
Yep.
I have a chicken coop. I just killed 4 of them the other day. I don't value mice, and so I don't put any thought or effort or energy towards it other than I need to eradicate them because I can't stand them getting into my chicken feed and
right.
all that. So yep. it's really interesting when the mass, the population of North America or the United States, if they're not having a personal connection with the wildlife, then it's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. Well, value is why hunting works so well. I mean, you can take that idea and apply that to Africa. You can take that idea and apply it to North America. We love to hunt animals. We love to eat animals. There's a lot that goes into that adventure time, you know, all that stuff. That's a value,
yeah.
Right? And that's why in Africa, the preserves or whatever they're called, you know, where they're hunting, they do so much better than the areas where you can go and just do photo tours.
Right.
They don't make any money.
Right.
They're not saving those species, you know, from that money. It's actually coming from hunting.
Yep.
And it's because they're given a value.
It's crazy. What do you think of, and I'm shifting gears a hair right here, the difference between stewardship and conservation?
Well, I think that depends on what your definition of conservation is, because I think that's a hard one to define anymore because everyone's putting that label on everything, right? Stewardship to me, I don't know if I've ever really thought about this, but I mean, stewardship is humans being involved in nature, recognizing humans are nature, we're involved in nature, and we have a responsibility to take care of the land, to take care of the animals, and it's based on our decisions. We have direct impact on that. Conservation is it's a practice, and is it renewable year after year?
Right.
Right. I mean, that's just probably the simplest way to put it. Preservation is you leave it alone, and it does what it does. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. No human intervention, you know, whatsoever, besides maybe putting up fences and saying you're not allowed.
Right. You know? Right.
Conservation is here's our population of deer on the island, and each year we're going to take 10% out, so it's always there. It's always there. We can use it, but it still exists, you know, for perpetuity.
I teach social studies, and social studies, you got to teach the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
The first one, freedom of speech. What I've found, especially with the youth of America, is no one holds their own knowledge anymore, and so they're going to resources of Google. What's the definition of this word? Well, it's whatever Google wants to give you rather than it, because definitions change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that, or they're manipulated. Just like, you know, what you mentioned earlier, like, is this a real study? Because I can manipulate numbers to reflect whatever I want.
Yep.
So definitions of words are huge, and then the application of how we use those words. And conservation, it means to hold on to for later, right? Like, we want the wildlife for later. It's really interesting that I feel, just from my own anecdotal evidence of seeing the youth of America, is that they aren't holding on to the knowledge of what words mean. And so they'll just throw stuff out there without any care or value or acknowledging, like, what I'm saying has power. It carries power. And that also creates the world that I live in based off of what I'm saying.
In the last few months, I've made a lot of posts and been on some podcasts about words and about definitions. We had a big one. It was a great conversation with Robbie at Origins Foundation and James Nash, Six Ranch Outfitters. And it was killing versus harvest. And what killing means, the perception of killing, and what harvest means. And to me, it's really important. I like to use harvest when it's appropriate. I mean, I'm not going to go out hunting with you and come back to camp and be like, I just harvested an elk. No, I just killed an elk. But you know what it means.
Yeah.
But you know, what I've learned from talking to the non-hunting public, they think we're killing, meaning you just go out there and kill it and leave it. A lot of people think that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the truth. So we can use a better word that maybe sparks them to go, hold on, you just said harvest. What does that mean? Because I'm thinking corn or something, like you take that out of there. Well, yeah, because I went out there and I killed this bear, and now it's in my freezer, and I eat it 3 days a week.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't know that. So words are important, but there's also a lot of words like conservation that have been co-opted by preservationist groups because conservation sounds better, I guess. Coexistence. When people bring that up, I like them to define what that means. And what I'm looking for there is there any lethal take in your definition of coexistence? Because if there's not, I think what you're talking about is cohabitation. And I think that's really important. So a lot of groups are throwing around coexistence. We want to coexist with wildlife. Okay. I personally don't feel that. I feel that wildlife becomes less wild when a mountain lion is walking down my sidewalk 15 minutes south of San Francisco and it's not scared of humans.
Right.
Now, a lot of folks, they call this coexistence. I don't think that's healthy for anybody. I don't think that's good for the lion. That lion's going to end up being killed because it's going to get itself in trouble because it's just being a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's coexist with grizzly bears. Okay. Right. Are they signing an agreement too? You know.
Very true.
I think often what they are asking for, when you look at what's your definition and what's the real world scenario here, you're talking about cohabitation, which is not really based in reality. So words and definitions are very, very important. And I think they're important for us to define them so we know where we're going. Mm-hmm. And when we align with different groups, they sound good. You know, people, they hear word, ooh, that sounds great. Let's go with them. Well, ask them these really intentional, specific questions.
Yeah.
So at least you know where this is headed, or you know what they're trying to limit. Are they going to try and limit hunting when we're talking about coexistence? That's very important.
You know, going from the state of Washington and Western big game hunting and public lands
yeah.
to go into Texas
yeah.
is, I'm so glad I got that opportunity because now I've had a greater perspective. And down there, we talk about it as management. And
yeah.
and management is you are hands-on involved in managing the wildlife.
Yep.
And, you know, you have a TV show like Growing Deer. Like, yeah, you are actually growing deer because you are having a physical impact on their habitat, on how they interact with nature and the environment and humans and all this stuff. And it's really interesting because you hear conservation in the whitetail woods, but you hear management more. But it affects all of us. It's all the exact same thing.
That's another great point. There's a bill out there. This is one. I forget. We're working on this now. Delisting wolves, mm-hmm. which means currently, for those who don't know, in every state except three, Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana, wolves are listed as in danger, even though they've surpassed the recovery goals that they set, you know, decade ago or whatever it was. This bill would then delist wolves, not endangered, and give the decisions back to the states. So the states can say, okay, this is our population of wolves. What should we do? How do we manage them? So I like to tell people this is about management of wolves. We need to manage wolves. That doesn't necessarily mean killing them. That doesn't that's up to the state. There's different states that might say we're not to our goals yet, but now it's our responsibility to figure out what that management plan is. So I've had a lot of the anti-hunters, you guys are saying you're just managing wolves. That's just you're trying to trick people because you just want to kill them all. I'm like, well, here we go again. Kill. Really? Is that all it is? Is there a purpose for it? See, that's the other thing. Like, hunt to eat, only eat what you kill. I don't totally agree with that because oftentimes there's a purpose in management.
Such as my mice representation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't think people talk about that enough. Probably it's kind of hard to talk about, or maybe it's hard to explain, but no one's eating wolves. Most people don't eat coyotes. Some people eat grizzly bear. I would eat grizzly bear, you know. Mountain lion's great to eat. Black bear's great to eat, you know, whatever. But there's definitely wildlife out there that we kill, that we harvest, that people don't eat. But that falls under management because there's a purpose to it. And that purpose is up to, you know, and it's not always perfect, but the state needs to define those goals. Like, here's our wolf population. Here's the effects it's having on, you know, livestock, mule deer, whatever. We want to get these numbers back. I'm never for eradicating anything at all, by the way. I'm not one of those guys, kill all the wolves. I'm just not. Never going to be. I don't care what it is. I don't think that's up to us to do. But
right.
manage them? Yes, 100%. But we get back to the kill and manage thing. And they're like, they're angry I'm using management.
That's our word.
And it's like, no, that's our word too.
Yeah.
And I know some people, they can make it, you know, some people, online commenters, they say stupid stuff or whatever. But I don't think that's the majority of us. That's not how the North American model is.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? You know, people are always going to say stupid stuff and make us look bad, but whatever. I mean, and that's on all sides too. I'm sure it's on their side too. They're like, man, who's this guy? You know, he's not making us look good, you know, the anti-hunters or
yeah.
whatever. But that's just humans yeah. being humans. But it's important. Words definitely matter. And some people don't think it does. They're like, oh, you're trying to water it down. You're trying to make it softer. I'm like, no, I'm trying to be more definitive. I mean, for one, I don't know any state that calls it a kill report, so they're all called harvest reports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to fill out a harvest. Sometimes it's mandatory, sometimes it's voluntary. They're always called the harvest reports.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that's really important. Why don't we latch on to those words? They actually, they open up more doors, more opportunity to talk to people about what it is that we do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's watering down anything at all. It's education.
It's interesting, very important, but it goes back to intention. We got to be intentional.
Yeah. 100%.
So one of the things that I've been noticing this year, now moving in Texas, and tell me what you see in California. I'm seeing a resurgence of furs. More people are starting to return back to a natural way of life, and they're getting away from the synthetic polyesters, plastics, all this, and they're going back to leather, real fur, and all this.
Yep.
And I feel like that's going to be a huge benefit for the outlook for hunting and trapping across the board. Have you seen anything like that? Have you noticed it?
Yeah, because there's been several bills since we started on banning fur, and I don't know if any of them have passed. I think they've all been beat. And a lot of it comes from, when you look at synthetics, how actually bad it is for the environment, for everything, right? And it doesn't, you know, if it, you know, it gets ruined, it doesn't last as long, goes into a landfill. It's just plastics. Everybody knows about plastics, but they don't think about it. Like, they're thinking about it like, oh, this is replacing fur, so now less animals have to die. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been kind of it goes back to use. It goes back to purpose. Leather boots, leather jacket, leather gloves, fur last a really long time. And what's cool is, again, it goes back to, we're not just killing the animal. Eating the meat, using the hide, using the hair.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool stuff. So, and that's been around forever. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
You know, and I think that goes back to, you know, kind of the stewardship conversation as well. I mean, I believe we are, humans are very much a part of nature. We weren't put here into a foreign world. We're from here. We're not from Mars. And we have all these resources around us to use responsibly. Being stewards of the land is a responsibility. It's not a permission to go destroy it as well. And we can do that too. Mm-hmm. We can make bad decisions, good decisions. Well, you know, we're taking animals, we're harvesting animals, we're using them, and people are starting to find out, like, wow, this is way better than the unnatural alternatives.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good thing.
Like, my childhood was looking at Joe Namath in his fur coat.
That's right.
You know, like,
that big, long fur coat.
Yeah, like, that was something that was always made a lasting impact on my mind.
Yeah.
And then it was anti-fur. Fur is bad. If you're wearing a fur coat, like, how dare you?
Yeah.
But I'm seeing this, and I'm looking at cowboy hats and felt and different types of animals, beaver versus rabbit and all this. I'm like, when we get back to the way nature's meant to be, life is meant to be, it's going to be beautiful.
So you bring that up. We hadn't talked about the fur ban yet, have we, in Denver?
Nope.
Okay. So in 2024, there was a fur ban on the ballot for the city of Denver. That did not pass. City of Denver completely crushed that. And now that is back at the commission, CPW. And it's the same people. So at the time it was, you know, Cats Aren't Trophies and Samantha Miller and all that. Well, now she works for the Center for Biological Diversity. And they're trying this all over again and trying to get it done through the commission. So we'll have an action on that next week. And what we're really doing is trying to get people to show up. Dan wants 1,000 people there at the commission meeting. I think it's March 4th and 5th of this year. That's the first meeting on this. What I find really interesting, and I just figured this out last week. I'm like, okay, you have the Center for Biological Diversity there proposing a ban on fur, right? On Catalina Island, the Center for Biological Diversity is there on their political law strategy team, whatever, wanting to eradicate all the deer and leave them there to rot. I'm like, the irony here is just wild, wild to me. I think they just look at opportunities and, you know, they got big donors and I don't know what it is, but it's just, where's your consistency here?
Right.
You know, what's the message you guys are trying to throw out here. On one hand, no value to all these deer, totally fine with killing them. And then on the other hand, the people who go and, you know, trap these animals, take these animals, can't use the fur. Can't do anything with that. Like, so throw that away too? I mean, it's just it just doesn't make any sense.
Which then ties into Oregon of let's just not kill anything.
Right.
Which and, that...
And we'll crush that.
That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It doesn't. It's, I mean, I don't know the minds of these folks. I really don't. And I don't, I hear this a lot, you know, it's Democrats who are doing this. And listen, I'm not a Democrat, but those are people. And I love a lot of Democrats. And I talk to a lot of Democrats. I don't agree with them on everything, but I agree with them on more things than we disagree. You know what I mean? These aren't Democrats that are doing that. These are wild, wild. I don't know what the name is. You know what I mean? But this goes far beyond politics. I mean, maybe you could extreme whatever. If you want to say extreme left or whatever it is.
Ultimate control.
It's an ideology of people who, honestly, they just want you to eat fake meat and tofu. That's really who's behind this. Most people are not for that, by far. So the way that they try to get this stuff passed is by using words, right, that sound good.
Yep.
If you go through and read the... Well, this is one thing. We've had a lot of hunters go, hey, this bill doesn't say that at all. Well, the way the bill is written, everything that's italicized, that's the stuff that's going to be taken out. But people don't realize that because you'll read the bill and it's like, this isn't taking away hunting. This isn't... It's all right here. Well, everything that's italicized is what would be removed. People don't know that. So there's all these... And that's a problem, right? I mean, people should be... If people are reading a bill and they're trying to educate themselves and they're getting confused by something like that, we should probably fix that and things should be more clear. That's better for everybody, right? That's better for democracy, right?
Yeah. Well, confusion is of the devil is what I was always told.
That's a good way to... You're 100% right there.
You know?
And that's what this is.
Yeah.
That's 100%. That's a great... I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Because it says in the Bible that without vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
In order to have vision, you have to have clarity. And when there's no clarity, that's confusion. Yeah. That brings death. Right?
And I see that in almost everything we're involved in, actually.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
I really do. One of the... Talking about this, about clarity and transparency, there is a bill that... I mean, I'm working on the language and I'm proposing it, giving it to lobbyists and different groups who can help with this. Well, I'll tell you the inspiration. So I was listening to Six Ranch podcast and James had on a biologist who used to work for ODFW. They did like an 11-year collared cat study, looking at predator prey dynamics with wolves and bear and mountain lion. And it was the most informative podcast on predators and their impacts that I'd ever heard. And I'm sitting there going, man, this is the kind of information that everybody should be listening to. When we have a situation like Prop 127, mountain lion ban in Colorado, CPW couldn't speak on anything. They were gagged, gag order, right? And that's generally in most states, that's the same path. We can't actually hear from the biologists who are presently working in the department, who have studies and who knows what's going on. Then I listened to another podcast with the Origins Foundation with Mike Bodenchuk. He's a retired biologist out of Texas. Wildly informative. So I said, okay, can we write a bill? Can we get language in there that gives some sort of protection for our state wildlife biologist to speak on objectively? I'm not trying to weaponize them. And I know that's sticky, and that's where the language is really important here. But to address the public on, here's the studies we're doing. If the question is, are mountain lions endangered? Well, here's what we found. Here's our population estimates. Here's how we got there. Here's what we're collaring lions. We're, you know, whatever. All the different tools that they are using that's helpful for the public. Because what happens is now you basically have propaganda on both sides. An issue comes up with this, and here's the hunter's side, and here's the anti-hunter side. And whoever's going to put, you know, put more money into it, that's what the public hears. And then the public's going to decide on wildlife management. But right. We never hear from the experts. That's crazy.
And lunacy.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But, you know, doctors have, you know, protections like this. I see our wildlife as... It's very important as well. I was going to almost say, like, it's just important as you know, our medical... I don't know if it is, whatever. That's up in the air. But the expertise is just as important, right? We don't have the public deciding on the best way to build a bridge. Engineers are deciding that. Well, let's look at that in the same lens with our management of wildlife.
Yeah.
So kind of testing the waters there, and the few people that I've talked to so far, they really like it, and they think there's some solutions there. Really what I'm getting at is transparency. And I don't think it's always going to go our way either. I just want to know.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on in our state agencies? This whole thing on Catalina, I've spoken privately with a lot of CDFW biologists. They're like, I can't be in your documentary. I'll tell you these things that I know, but I can't be in it because I'll lose my job. Many of them have also said, we haven't even been briefed on this. This is above our heads. This is at the director level, who's appointed by the governor. So it becomes very political. When those things happen and our experts, our scientists, our biologists are left out of the equation on wildlife management decisions, there's something really wrong going on there. So I want to bring some solutions to that.
Yeah.
And I'd also love to see who would be in opposition to it, because I think it'll really tell the story for a lot of people.
All we want is the truth.
Yep.
That's all we want.
Yep.
Like you said, whether it might not go our way, it's whatever, fine. But let's just be truthful.
Yep.
Right? The truth shall set you free.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah.
100%.
Let's go.
So that's another big thing. If we can get that going, I think that'd be great. I just think we need to start thinking that way. We're always on the defense, right? Anti-hunters and these big groups, they're always pushing these bills and legislation and, it, you know, to make life easier for them. I think this not only makes life easier for us, because I truly do believe that science-based wildlife management is the answer, but if we can't hear from the science, where are we going to go here? You know, it's back to propaganda and marketing and advertising, which wildlife should not be subject to that.
Oh, totally. And I'm not going to bring this up. I was going to talk about definitions of words once again, but
yeah, it's important.
In 2020, actually, I think it was 2021, there's this website called Wayback Machine, and it documents and catalogs websites and their transitions over time.
Hmm.
So, like, you know, you want to see what Hal's website looked like now versus mm-hmm. back then, it's made progress. So what it did is it cataloged the CDC's definition of a vaccine. And they changed it in 2021, and there's proof of how they... Because a vaccine is supposed to... Talking about verbiage, I might use the wrong word here.
Yeah.
Eradicate a disease, right? Like, you take a vaccine so you do not get it. They change that so that it is more therapy driven of, like, you take it in hopes that you don't get it. That small change sets people up. Number one, it breaks trust. And if you don't have trust, right, like politicians, can't trust them,
yep.
right? The words that they're saying, can't trust them. Is the science trustable? Can we trust the science? And then that is a lack of clarity, right? And that's confusion, and that gets us nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting. But these are the types of things that the general public might not know.
Right.
You know, like, they published it. You could see it. And this goes back to, like, old school. I'm a history teacher. So book burning. This is why they burn the books. So that you didn't have the physical printed copy of what it was, and now they can reprint stuff and put in yeah. whatever is in.
Interesting.
Conspiracy talk or whatever, but I also see it firsthand.
Well, we got to put... So ChatGPT is basically what's already out there, what's already on the internet, and it just brings it to you a lot faster, right? Well, if the information that's out there, if you're looking at wildlife science or whatever, and we don't have any information out there from our sides, and it's CBD and Defenders of Wildlife, and they're flooding it. Well, that's the information that it's going to pull from.
Bingo.
And then people read something, and they look at, you know, AI or ChatGPT like it's fact. Well, here's a really funny example. This guy was arguing with me online. Somebody asked, it was Cable Smith, I think he texted me. He goes, hey, were you guys in support of the reintroduction of wolves through the ballot measure in Colorado in 2020? And I was like, how? He goes, yeah. And I go, we weren't even, we formed in 2022. And he goes, dude, this guy is like saying, you got to stop talking to these guys. They were involved in the reintroduction and the push to do that. And I was like, we weren't even, we're 2 years past that. So he goes, well, talk to this guy. I talked to the guy and he goes, it says it right here on AI. And he sent me like a screenshot from, and I go, hey, how does it say that? That how we weren't even formulated. It wasn't even idea. But somehow AI, I'll have to check it now, see if it's different. Somehow Google AI thinks we were around in 2020 and that we actively pushed for the reintroduction of wolves in Colorado. And I mean, first of all, I'm like, okay, it'd be kind of a weird take since, you know, we're now you can look at our website and listen to me. We are not for that, but AI says we are. And then people are like, well, that's the truth. That's the fact. And like, where'd that come from?
And where are people putting their trust?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to trust it's whoever programmed that program.
The guy still doesn't believe me. That I'm the founder. I started Howl. He still doesn't believe me because it says that. And I'm like, I don't. Are you this stupid? Like,
well,
I don't, you know.
And this is a great conclusion, wrap up of this is I always talk about here at Soul Seekers that experiences always trump opinions. You want to know and speak about hunting? Go hunt once. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not,
yeah.
Experience it, then speak about it. Because when people are speaking with a lack of experience, then they're only being a talking head for something else or someone else. I know it because I lived it and I saw it with my own eyes. I'm a first-person witness to it. That's powerful.
It is.
Rather than, you know, whatever Google or AI throws at us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's funny. Not to go back to the, I guess we will, go back to the Bible. It was that first person witness where people saw Christ walking around after, you know, the resurrection. I'm like, no, I saw him with my own eyes.
Yep.
I know it's true.
Yep.
Right? I was actually just talking to somebody about that. But yeah. No, I get you. I get what you're saying.
Like, that's it, man.
Yeah.
And so it's our job collectively as a humanity to spread the gospel of hunting.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to last. It transformed my life. And I believe it can transform your life and everyone else's life. You got to experience it.
And we got to become evangelists.
Yes.
Of hunting.
Yep. We got to spread it. Spread the gospel, baby.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Anyways, Charles, thanks for coming on, brother. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Guys, howl.org.
Howl.org or howlforwildlife.org.
That's H-O-W-L if I'm not pronouncing it properly.
Yep.
Howl.org and go take action in the Action Center. Become a member now.
Yeah, definitely.
Sign up. You get some discounts towards some cool gear and different products. And then, you know, just know that it's going towards a good cause of spreading the mission of making sure hunting lasts for generations to come. So,
amen. Thank you.
All right, guys. If you like this episode, share it. Share it. Give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, rating, review. All that helps spread the mission. Mentorship is conservation. For Johnny Mack and Charles Whitwam here at Huxworks Safety Company booth at Salt Lake City, the Western Hunt Expo. Be blessed, freedom on, and as always, stay soulful.
If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure.